Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Violence, violence, causing violence, 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 causing violence, 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 causing violence, 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 causing violence, 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 causing violence.
All right, all right. Hello and welcome to Tune the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Purchall.
And Alistair, people say that like young people these days, you know, because they're always looking at their phones, would be killed, you know, if they were in the wild. Like, they get eaten by a lion or something. People say this all the time.
Yes.
Right? It's like, I assume, the only thing that they talk about on talkback radio.
It's the main topic of conversation.
It's the main fodder of that. But surely that wouldn't be a problem if we also had smartphones for,
animals.
Know, animals. Right? Mm-hmm. All the predators and the herbivores, if everyone was equally distracted, it would just be across the board a handicap, right? Mm-hmm. And we could all, again, compete as we once did, you know, in the great savannah.
Yes.
I'm not going to be able to, I'm not going to be able to keep going. Also, I think my voice has got deeper to try and compensate.
Maybe I can control.
No, this is not going to work for me.
Well, first we would have to learn how to sort of exploit the minds of beasts.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if you just used photos of meat mostly. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just while you were saying that, something popped into my mind. Remember, because you said handicap.
Yes.
And it made me think.
I'm very excited to hear where you go with this, Alistair. And I hope all the listeners are too.
It's just you meant,
tweeting fingers ready, people.
Do you remember the comic character Andy Cap?
Yes, I do. I had a friend's dad when I was growing up. He used to call me Andy Cap as like a affectionate nickname.
Now, I don't remember exactly what I think he was a lazy guy.
He was a lazy guy, and he was also a domestic abuser. He definitely beat his wife.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, what about, you know,
in a series of lighthearted competitions?
Yeah, and so. I don't think you could create a character like that these days.
No, we don't have the technology.
No, at least
it's a lost art.
It's less okay to name a person Andy Cap. So what about this? It's a new comic character called Des-Abled.
I literally only just got that Andy Cap is a... is that a handicap reference?
I think so, yeah, it would be.
Wow.
Handicap. It's like you say it like...
What's your handicap?
Yeah. Like, I think you would say it like your what's that place in England where everybody talks a bit like this, yeah?
I think that's just England, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all of England.
That's the Queen's English, as far as I'm aware.
I think that goes from... Actually, it might start from the bottom of Wales all the way up to the very tip of Scotland.
Yeah,
the and then all of Ireland, which is not part of the United Kingdom, except for that part that is. And I think even some of Nova Scotia.
Really?
Canada.
Yeah.
Very influenced vocally, I think, from...
is it part of the United Kingdom?
It's part of the United World.
Mm, yeah, and the vocal extent of the United Kingdom.
That's
you know,
right.
The accent.
Mm.
Yeah, I think...
so the Des-Abled.
Yeah, okay, great.
No, and I don't know if it's... that's not a sketch idea, but... distracting beasts, is that an idea?
I think distracting beasts is a thing. Like, I think, you know, trying to get... everything equally addicted to modern technology just to flatten it out, you know, flatten the curve.
Smartphones for beasts.
Especially because, you know, if we want animals to have the same rights as humans, which I think we all agree that we do,
yes,
then they should also have the same access to technology as humans, you know, equality of opportunity.
Yep.
Right. So we've got to provide, you know, toilets, running water, and, you know,
universal basic income
yeah. to the beasts of the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's all taken care of. But then also they should have to have implemented upon them the same stresses mm-hmm. and handicaps that, you know, that plague our modern lifestyle.
Or disables
that plague our modern lifestyle, e.g. mobile phone addiction.
Yes, that's right.
Only fair.
Well, so that it's
really,
a level playing field so they don't take all our jobs.
Exactly. Mm. Because you know, if Peter wants animals to have the same rights as us, if we give them all our rights, then because they don't have the same problems that we have, they'll actually be better off, and then we'll be subjugated by them.
Mm.
So we've got to make sure that they have the same problems that we have, the same drug problems, the same, you know, political correctness gone mad that stops us from saying what we want. You know, if only I was able to say the sort of the racist, homophobic things that I want to say, society would have progressed so much more. We'd be in such a better place. I think there'd probably be full employment, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the benefits of a beast is actually their lack of language, which means that they can't even talk to themselves, right?
Yes.
Because I think one of the saddest things about interacting with people is that people that you like at some point will say something that reveals a deeper truth about themselves that is unbelievably disgusting to your ears.
Yeah.
Like that, right? You know, they are, I don't know, they just, anything. You might even
start a podcast with this person in an environment and in a style that more or less forces you to do exactly that, to say things that are going to disappoint yourself and the other person.
That's right. Yeah. Well, but with an animal, right, like a lion or something like that, they could never, you know, even if you found a way to communicate with them via a smartphone, right, they would never use words, I don't think.
No.
Right, it would all be sort of, you know, they'd be directed by, you know, either meat, or like they would always be choosing, you know, fresh meat or rotten meat. I think that's how they would kind of choose yes or no. That would be the binary sort of, and then they would lick the one that they want.
Yep.
Like that. And then, you know, that's kind of how they would get around, or like... and so they could never say sort of something like, well, I think that we should maybe expel all of these people from our country or something. They would never say that because they don't even have the thoughts. And I think that's the absolute benefit, because their whole selves is unable to be vocalized because they can't even say it to themselves. They can't have the thoughts.
Yes.
And I think that's the best way of, that's in one way that they'll...
It's true.
They'll integrate so well into our society because they'll replace all the friends that we lose due to due to opinions.
Right, so we'll be able to be friends with these wild animals because they won't disappoint us in the same way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we may disappoint them.
Sure.
But they'll love our ability to get them meat or raw, like, you know, good quality raw meat or rotten meat, if that's
so
what
we'll
they
be
like.
Able to buy back their friendship after we've disappointed them with our racism.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, or, you know, anything about us.
Yeah.
The fact that they can't eat us, that could also disappoint them.
That would be hugely disappointing.
Hugely.
Hugely. I think this would be a thing that would be big, right? All these animals that are struggling in the wild, strap a GoPro to them, get them live streaming.
Yeah.
Right? Like if I can support a lion in Africa... I want to be able to log on and live stream a GoPro from, like, the top of the head of that lion.
Yeah, right.
So 24 hours a day I can check in and I can just be that lion.
Yeah.
Right? Looking around, tearing into a carcass or something like that. That should be, you know, that's the service. You should be able to pay a streaming site and, like, log in as your animal avatar or whatever it is and just see what it's like. And then people would have such an incentive to look after that animal.
Absolutely. Yeah, the I think maybe the only downside would be revealing these animals' locations to poachers.
Well, would we reveal their locations?
No, I mean, couldn't you, like, couldn't you look into the distance and see the mountainside find mountain, you know, especially if you're...
Triangulate or something like that.
Triangulate. This is how they've, you know, the BBC in Africa has been locating atrocities based on, like, little clips of videos that they've taken.
And then they
look at the just mountains in the distance and they try to find... mountain lions that match up, not mountain lions.
No, okay. Although if the mountain lions like matched up as well, that would that's a clue.
Especially if it's like a static mountain lion. not a static, like electrostatic.
No, and not a static mountain lion. The mountains are generally static, you know, unless we're talking over geological time frames.
Yeah, that's right. Which we might be.
We don't know what we're talking about. Ever.
Yeah.
But, okay, so either it's that, right, and you can just log on, you can watch as an animal, or we take it to the next level, right? Mm. And we have a one-to-one, everybody is assigned an animal, an endangered, everyone in the world is assigned an endangered animal.
Yeah.
And if your animal dies, you get killed.
You die.
Right? There's some sort of a thing. Like, I think this is a great dystopian future.
Mm-hmm.
Not even necessarily dystopian. Yeah. You know? I'm going to call it a utopia. Right? Why do only utopias get to be good? Or dystopias get to be bad? Why can't we have a bad utopia?
Well, I mean, it's only bad for some people.
Exactly.
Particularly the people whose animals die.
Mm.
Yeah.
But for
the people who've been allocated a lion,
yeah,
and they kill loads of other people's animals, mm-hmm. and then those people die,
mm-hmm.
It's a utopia for
them.
That's
a utopia because they get to be responsible for the deaths of many.
Yeah.
So you have some sort of a chip in your heart. There's a chip in the lion's heart, and if the lion heart stops beating, you just drop dead. Right?
Yeah.
So everyone would be trying to protect these lions, right?
Mm.
Or like protect your animal, find your animal somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
So either you do what you can to protect all lions,
mm.
right? Or you go and you find your specific lion and you protect it. And I guess there'd have to be some way for us to know. Oh, it's difficult because lions just die all the time from just quite... normal lion-related issues.
I guess, everybody's lifespan now becomes the lifespan of their animal.
But I suppose...
Because if you get assigned a rabbit, you're like, oh, I got like 4 years.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I suppose you could get your lion, you could drug it, you could take it to a hospital. If you're rich enough, you take it to a hospital, get it hooked up to all these machines, and it's kept in a sort of a vegetative state.
Or like all its inner organs. If you could just keep them beating to, you know, like... Even if it's not really alive, the important thing is that the chip thinks that they're alive.
Exactly.
You know? And so suddenly people are just strapping machines to them that just contain the innards of like rodents and things like that. And it's like a pacemaker that just keeps the heart
pumping.
And if it stops, it's like speed.
Yes.
But with animal organs. I think
just seeing where that goes, I mean, I reckon whoever wrote The Hunger Games, they could probably turn that into a really good book.
Oh.
And then that could become a really, really successful series of films.
Andy, I think you and
I... And then they could re-release the books with the photographs of the films on the front, because that seems to be a thing that we do.
Andy, I think you and I could take the sci-fi writing world by storm.
Mm.
If we were just to take...
Geostorm.
By Geostorm. By just kind of taking this one idea, like, you know, taking small ideas like this and just submitting them to these papers. I don't know, this seems like that's not a huge plan.
Submitting them to these who?
To these publications, you know, all these sci-fi writing publications. Everybody's writing something real serious.
Yeah,
and
but
like,
do we write them or do we just submit the idea?
No, we have to actually write them.
Oh, okay.
You can't
so
take
we
them.
Could take the publishing, the sci-fi world by storm, just by writing really good sci-fi, is that what you're saying?
Well, I think it's not just that it's good. It's
right.
that it's based on a premise that doesn't justify itself and doesn't, like, you know, shouldn't exist. Even the premise shouldn't. That premise that you've just come up with, I don't think should exist. I don't think anybody should have come up with that. But,
I'm so supportive of it,
Andy. I'm
willing to overlook the fact that it shouldn't exist.
And I'm gambling my whole career on it by attaching my name to you, a man who is probably going to crumble.
I'm gambling my whole career, my whole sci-fi writing career, which I've already established in my premise, could be very successful very easily.
Yeah, and I'm wrecking it by attaching myself to you, who comes up with these ideas that
were the basis of my idea.
that God himself would have seen as an abomination.
I think in some ways my idea is less far-fetched. Alistair, if anything, it's insufficiently far-fetched compared to that one where the cities are all on wheels and they're all driving around, mortal engines.
You're right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's bonkers. That's just straight up whack-a-da-doo.
That is a bit whack-a-da-doo, isn't it?
Yeah. But anyway, if you think this is good, I'm looking forward to sending it to one of those papers you were talking about.
Well, we could send it to the one that used to be run by Isaac Asimov.
Isaac, definitely an Isaac. Yeah, it's a good name.
Double A?
Isaac Asimov. Like, it feels like I reckon a lot of the success of his writing was probably just all in the name. Like, you'd read the name Isaac Asimov and you'd be like, oh, this is probably very good.
Well, the Azzy. The Azzy is like opposite of Isaac.
Isaac Azzy.
Isaac Azzy. Because you see, it's the Isaac Azzy. You see? Yeah. Isaac Azzy. And so there's sort of like a...
There's already a contradiction and an intriguing dualism, you know, duality within his very name.
Yeah, exactly. And then Mov, that's a bit...
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a movie format, .mov.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
I mean, that's quite science. You know, like, Codex, that's very science fiction.
It's like, Isaac Azzy DivX or Azzy MP4.
And then... you know, the AC at the end of his first name, which we haven't already accounted for. Alternating current. I mean, activate computing on old, old calculators.
Yes.
Do you reckon they still have the air conditioning? All these science fiction ideas that are the dream of tomorrow.
So when you have a name like that, you almost don't need to write anything, really. Mm. Like the fact he was just typing, he didn't even have to look at the screen
or the paper
that he was doing, you know, whatever they wrote on it back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would just flap away, flap, 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 like this. He'd be drinking tea, you know, holding the mug with his lips.
Alistair's miming, typing.
You know, like that. And he'd make love while he was doing it.
Did you say
he was
holding the mug with his wrists?
No, with his lips.
With his lips, okay.
And then he'd just lift it up with his chin.
Toss it back, drink that hot tea just pouring over his lips. You know how good it is when the tea runs over your lips?
Yeah, absolutely. He would have time to get good at that and to build up a tolerance to boiling hot tea.
Yeah, because because his mind is elsewhere. His body is typing.
Mm.
But
because the success is so...
Is inherent.
Is inherent.
He can take that for granted.
Alistair Trombley Birchall, I've got no chance in science fiction unless I attach it to you and your doomed idea.
AGWTB.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could Alistair do A.T. Birchall.
A.T. Birchall. A.T. Birchall?
What about this? A. Trombley B.
Sorry, I just spat, and Alistair had to leap out of the way.
A Trombley B.
This is good. Nobody does the initials either side. Everyone's doing the initials in the middle. J, K, whoops, no, not her. No. John
F. Kennedy, no.
No,
he's
yes,
the opposite
no, he's
of what
one.
I'm trying to do.
No, yeah, exactly. Oh. So everyone's doing the initials in the middle, but you do the initials on the outside. Like
an initial sandwich.
Well, not an initial sandwich, because as we've established in previous podcasts, I'm sure, you name the sandwich after the contents, not after the bread.
You're right. You're right. So John F. Kennedy is initial sandwich.
Yes, he is. And you are a full name sandwich on initials.
Oh, yes. Last name sandwich on initials.
Last name sandwich on initials.
Yeah.
And I think that's already very sci-fi.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I like it that the your reimagining of, you know, possible worlds begins not with the first page, but with the layout of your very own name.
Yeah, it's good. I really like that.
And I see that on the shelf in the bookshop.
You're already intrigued. It's already like an episode of, what was that show? That show where weird things would happen and then it would end?
The Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone.
think that was Rod Sterling's pitch.
Yeah,
you know. Weird things will happen and then it'll end.
Yeah.
I mean, Alistair, I believe in the most recent episode of the podcast, I said something was just life.
Mm.
But, you know, I mean, in many ways, that's you've just described life.
Mm, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Weird things happen and then it ends.
So the initial itself is like an episode of The Twilight Zone.
Yes, yes.
It opens your mind to new worlds, new things that can happen.
Mm. I mean, I don't see why you couldn't have a book and you put the back on the front and the front on the back, right?
Well, like so, in Japan.
Yeah, is that what they do?
I think so. And then they read it backwards.
But when they look at it on the shelf, the cover,
yeah.
The cover should be all the, you know, the blurb and then a couple of quotes. Doesn't even mention the name of the book, right?
Yeah, I think that's what they do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so they look at that on the shelf, and that's how they identify the book. And then they go turn it over and they see
what about this?
A, Tremblay,
they
B.
They put the cover on the inside. So it's just all loose pages on the outside. And then the cover's on the inside.
I love this, Alistair. Mm. The cover's in the middle.
Yeah, first page just says A, Tremblay, B.
Yep. And it's that flimsy paperback, you know, paper.
Really
standard
flimsy.
Paper. You know, paper. Book
yeah,
paper.
Yeah, or it could be that even flimsier Bible paper.
Yeah.
Super thin.
They really cheap out on that paper, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like they don't care. Or they care so much they want it accessible to anyone at such a low price.
Yeah, I wonder which one it is. I guess we'll never know.
Do you think people ever kind of go, oh, it's just a cheap Bible made in China?
Yeah.
Do you think they ever say that?
Like low-quality Bible.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing.
Would that bother you if your Bible was a low-quality one made in China?
Well, I guess if I was a Bible guy,
yeah.
My concern would be, has the text itself been is it a low quality Psalms, you know, is it are they low quality parables, knockoff ones, you know, like
I'd say they are knockoff ones.
Because I'm pretty sure that when Harry Potter was coming out, when there was all that hype for like the last few novels, there were like coming out of Russia and possibly China, like fake versions of the last book.
Really?
You know, like before it was even released, you could buy, someone had like churned out somehow, probably just like copying slabs of text from fan fiction and that sort of thing, you know, books that claimed to be the last book.
Wow.
Right? So I don't see why we can't just do a knockoff Bible, a knockoff even newer Testament. Fresh Testament. I'd call it the Fresh Testament.
Yeah. I think
Fresh Testament.
I think we have made that joke somewhere.
The Fresh Testament.
Yeah.
Ah.
We might have done it in an
episode of this podcast.
No, I don't know if it was that. Well, it might have been an episode in this podcast, actually. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of our ideas are in episodes of this podcast.
Yeah. Well, you know, we come up with a lot of ideas. Okay.
Yeah. And I think, you know, because I assume they were getting people who were just sort of Googling, you know, Harry Potter, right? And then they'd see this and without sort of processing the information that they hadn't actually released the book yet, click on it, pay for it, buy it. A lot of people probably are into Jesus.
Mm.
They want a Bible, but they're not sure how many books they are. They can't remember how many times he came back, that kind of thing. So if they're on the internet looking for a Bible, just clicking around, they click Old Testament. They click on New Testament there. They're in the cart. And then they see this other one pop up, Fresh Testament. You'd be like, well, I'm getting the other Bibles. I haven't heard of this one, but I assume it's important that I stay up to date. Maybe Jesus came back while I was, you know, not paying attention.
Well, of course, we're so busy these days.
We're so busy these days.
And has anyone released a New Testament, even as a joke?
Like a newer Testament?
Yeah.
I think they've done it. I think that's what Mormonism is based on, you know.
No, but like more recently than that, like in the last like 10 years.
I don't think so.
I mean, I think it could sell.
Yeah. If we haven't already written this idea down on the podcast.
Fresh Testament.
Fresh Testament.
I mean, you and me, I think, like, I don't even think you need to know the characters.
Alistair, I think you and I, we could take the Testament publishing world by storm. We just send off some of these ideas to one of those papers, you know, that they put them in.
Get that real thin garbage paper and make it printed in China.
This one's going to be so thin,
though.
God. It's going to be transparent.
Yeah, it's going to... Oh, yeah. That'll be
I'm
good.
I'm talking, this isn't even a paper. This is more of a film.
Film.
I'm excited.
But like, look, we could do it, set ourselves in a room, right? Mm. And we don't even have to type it. It's all audio. It's all dictated. If you just talk for a bit, and then he went into the house, and then he saw the bread, and he said of the bread.
That's great, by the way you said he said of the bread.
Yeah.
Like, it's that kind of weird sentence structure that triggers the part of my brain that goes, word of God.
Yeah.
You know?
And then he said,
God has weird sentence structure.
Yeah, he doesn't follow the normal way of talking.
Yeah. He's not very good at English.
He made us in his image, but he didn't make us in his sort of audiage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Manner of speaking.
Soundage.
Yeah. Earage.
Mm. This is kind of like, you know, you can get sounds like the Beatles tapes and that sort of thing. This is seems like the Bible. It's a seems like book.
But you could also sell it on Amazon as the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, like the latest testament.
Just more Bible.
Yeah.
Call it the more Bible.
More Bible? Even more, like 25% more Bible.
The problem with this would be, I wonder if we would start to think that we were really...
No, we wouldn't. Because we're going into it, and there's a record here that we're doing it as a joke.
I'm pretty sure the same thing happened to L. Ron Hubbard. I'm pretty sure there was a record of him saying, I would start a thing as a joke and start a religion as a way to make money.
I think what happens there is then a lot of people are into you and into your stuff. Yeah. And I think then it takes a lot of strength of character once a lot of people believe in you and think that you're cool and what you're doing is good for you to remain even having fake humbleness.
So right? You're saying...
I don't think that this is going to achieve any level of success. I think this will be a way to make 99 US cents on Amazon about six times.
Right. Well, it sounds worth it. But the idea of doing it is relying on us having strength of character.
No. I don't think there's much hope of that.
Because the two options we have for not selling out are... A, having strength of character, or B, having lack of success. And we are really, really counting on the lack of success to carry us through, because the strength of character is patently not there.
No. We can't possibly.
We would never.
We can't possibly expect that to be what keeps us honest. And so we could bang this out over a weekend. While we're trying to work on the comedy festival show.
Yeah, no, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, but. Maybe the weekend after. Oh, no, I'm getting married that weekend. But maybe the weekend after that. Yeah.
I forgot that was straight after the comedy festival.
Oh, 7 days.
7 days.
Yeah.
That's exciting, though. We're going to have to organize some kind of a thing to celebrate you, before that happens.
Well, let's not think about that right now.
No, okay. Sorry.
But come and see Magma at the Melbourne Comedy Festival 2019 if you're listening to this year.
The proceeds will be supporting Alistair's wedding.
So, yeah, or at least taking some of the edge off of the credit card. Or at least pay for just the festival run, because we got to...
Anyway, look, we talk way too much about our money problems on this podcast now.
Well, I talk about your money problems.
I thought this is my chance to try and bring it all back now to Alistair.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The Fresh Testament. That's not really a sketch idea, though, is it?
No, I think it is.
Yeah?
I think it is, yeah.
The guys churning out books, Bibles, as a way of making money.
Also, there's an angle in it, which is like when Douglas Adams died, they got this guy who wrote the Artemis Fowl series to just write another Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy book.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure who controls the estate of Jesus, possibly the church, but I think they could probably cash in and just pay a popular author to write another Bible.
Yeah, that's true.
And they'd be crazy not to. It's like sequels of movies, right? It doesn't matter how much you think you don't want to do a sequel or people don't really want a sequel. Time passes
yes.
and the financial incentive to do a sequel becomes undeniable, especially with the modern structures of Hollywood. And I think the publishing world is exactly the same.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, this will kind of be very much a Harper Lee kind of scenario. Mm. Wait till she's a bit senile.
Mm.
You know, we'll pretend that this was out of her own, you know, desire that, you know, like, yeah. And the same thing, well, you know, the Catholic Church, it's got its own problems right now.
Yeah.
It can't, it's not focused on launching a new Bible. And that's when we slip in there.
Or as a sketch, though, I think the Catholic Church cobbling together some of unreleased, some Dead Sea Scrolls kind of stuff and releasing a new Bible. And they've got in, like, some author like, who's one of those, like a Dan Brown or something. Yeah. Maybe not Dan, Robert Ludlum. I don't know. Someone who writes kind of trashy, like, you know.
J.K. Rowling?
J.K. Rowling.
I mean, you know, like...
She could do the foreword.
The Harry Potter thing was kind of based a little bit on the Bible.
Yeah, I mean, she was a bit of a Christy type character, so she's got that experience. I think she'd be good to sort of oversee it, maybe fill in some of the gaps there.
Absolutely.
You know, piece it together.
Or, you know, even if you were just harnessing some of the Jesus fan fiction that was on a lot of those, you know, Tumblrs and bloggers and Blogspot...
I'm sorry to our deeply our deep believing listeners, but I think like a lot of the stuff that wound up in the Bible is probably almost exactly that. It's like a fan fiction kind of a thing, right? Yeah.
Well, you know, you can't be with them at all times. It's not, you know, it's not, they didn't have the resources that reality TV have these days. Mm. You know, which I mean, in many ways the Bible is a version of reality TV. For those ages where they follow a great guy, you know, they follow one great guy and just see all the good stuff
all
that
the
he
stuff,
does, and
the scenarios that he finds him in, and then the arguments that he has with his friends.
There's a lot of bit of drama, but overall, the producers are deciding how
what
he comes
makes
across.
The edit. Yeah.
You know, yeah,
yeah,
and so you know he. If they had a camera, like, I mean, that's very much, the Fresh Testament itself could just be a reality show when Jesus comes back. Because he would get his own reality show, I think.
Yeah, I think we talked about in the past Jesus coming back and sort of becoming a social media influencer. And this idea really ties into that. Like, he would 100% have a reality TV show sort of following him. And
but first thing would be, like, you know, if you had a reality TV show, first thing would be depending on how they want to portray him, like, because they could portray him just as a great guy, as he's kind of seen through the eyes of the Bible or whatever, or they could, you know, sex him up a little bit, because there'd be people who would immediately want to have relations with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean that's a real frisson, isn't it?
I mean, even me, who who seems to not even have that much interest. In sexual frisson at the moment, right? I would be like, if he's offering, or if there is even a minute chance, I would probably try.
Yeah, sure. Well, just to say, you know, that it happened.
I mean, it would probably be a bit different to how the just to the normal fare.
I imagine so. hang on, I had an idea. Okay, so yeah, I knew someone who worked on a reality show in Australia based around a vet, right? A celebrity vet.
Yeah.
And one of the things involved in producing that show would be to, because shows are organized in advance, right? It doesn't really work with emergency vet procedures, like animals who suddenly need help. You know, if the vet's traveling to a different part of the country, they book that in weeks in advance, so and he can't show up and then like rely on having sick animals with the right kind of sicknesses that he can treat reliably and successfully. So a lot of it would be calling ahead to vets around the country, asking if they had any sick animals on the books who would be the appropriate level of sick looking forward in like 6 or 8 weeks when we come by for our vet to do a minor procedure on them or something like that. And it would be the same with Jesus. You know, you'd have the producer behind the scenes saying, hi, just calling up, wondering if you have any lepers. No one who's too damaged in the face area because we're going to put this on TV. And someone who's going to survive that long, but who could, who he could do a quick healing on, and then we'll come back. We'll send the cameras back in a week or two to do a little bit of a follow up to see them sort of, you know, I guess someone who's a break dancer or somebody who's like physically active, who like when we come back, it'll be a nice contrast when they're back out there doing tail spins or whatever it is that they do
on their tail.
Well, I'm not really sure of the breakdancing lingo, but you know that kind of thing.
But if they had a kangaroo tail,
I mean, Jesus, I'll have a word with him and see if he feels like doing a kangaroo tail. Normally, he brings people back up to where they were. I'm not sure whether he's into adding on animal parts.
Yeah,
but you're right; that's a good idea. That could be something, maybe for a Christmas special or something like that.
Yeah, because like breakdancers would love a kangaroo tail.
I think they would love a kangaroo tail.
Something else to spin on and lean back on and be able to do kicks.
Do you think there's anything that breakdancers haven't span on? You know, any part of the body. Mm-hmm. I think it's all comes down to finding new things to spin on.
Yeah.
Because they spin on their backs and their heads and their bottoms,
shoulders,
knees, and wrists. Wrists probably. Yeah.
Elbow. Do you think they've spun around on their elbows?
Absolutely, they've spun on the elbows. In fact, that would probably be one of the first places they'd spin on. I reckon the elbow.
Knees.
Yeah, you'd spin on a knee.
Yeah. And what about just
face?
Just nose. Yeah, nose and face.
Face spins.
Yeah, like just your face smushing against the ground.
I don't know if anyone's done a face spin.
Oh, look, I mean, maybe not intentionally.
Yeah. Anyway.
So I think the Jesus Reality Series, there is something in that.
Oh,
I think
it'd be great. I just behind the scenes of it, you know, like a frontline style where we're seeing how they put it together.
You could pitch that right now.
Oh.
And there would be some network that would take it.
Alistair, I don't think there's an idea that we've come up with so far today that couldn't be very easily pitched to whoever does, you know, the papers or whoever does that kind of thing. And then they wouldn't instantly pick it up and it would be very successful.
Here's just a side product that they can release with this reality series. Mm. Jesus Sutra.
Mm.
Sexual positions.
For a celibate prophet.
Well, maybe. Right?
Every position, Jesus is on the other side of the door. facing away. And then the one remaining member of the sexual encounter is just sort of, I don't know, leaning against a vase.
I guess it could just be people doing it missionary style with wedding rings on and Jesus looking through the door or the window.
Jesus is peeping, is he?
Well, because God's always watching.
Yeah.
You know, and he's making, because he'll be
disappointed.
He's
looking and he's giving a thumbs up.
Yeah. And then sometimes he's giving a thumbs down when it seems like they're not married and they're doing it like some very sexual way, like
sexual way.
God's not
missionary
okay with
position. It's not very sexual, is
well,
it?
Well, it's the least sexual position.
I wonder if it's the most sexual.
Really?
Yeah. And then all the other ones are, I'm not saying better or worse, but they're bringing in some other element, like. If you think of what is the most food, the answer is spaghetti bolognese.
What?
That is, spaghetti bolognese is the most food. And then anything else that you're doing to it feels like it's bringing in things from other fields, from art, from engineering, and adding them into food, making it less food, but making it potentially more interesting.
But what if you just like put an apple in it? Like an apple seems to be like pretty food.
Apple is quite food, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what, you're putting an apple in a
spaghetti bolognese. Does that bring in art or engineering?
Yeah,
or?
I think it is bringing in art because you're taking the idea, like that famous painting of the apple in front of the guy's face.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And you're putting an apple in front of something that wouldn't normally have an apple in front of it.
And it's such a weird way of cooking as well, to just have a spaghetti bolognese and just put an apple in front of it and consider it part of the meal.
In front of it, on top of it.
It kind of just looks like you had a packed lunch and you had two separate things.
Yeah.
But that's the exciting part of the meal, that they're not actually on the same plate or anything.
That's pretty much what they used to do with those pigs, right? Like you'd cook a pig and then you'd put an apple in its mouth.
Yeah.
What is the role of the apple there?
I don't know. I guess I don't know if they cook it with the apple in there.
Does it look like the pig is eating the apple and you're eating the pig? Does it feel like...
We're all eating.
Yeah. He's eating.
We're having him for dinner, but he's also having dinner.
Is it a chain kind of a, you know?
I guess I don't know why I have the head there at all. That's my problem with it.
Yeah. Cut the head off.
That feels better, doesn't it? Beheading.
Beheading. Get more tasty. Just a little beheading in there.
I think sometimes maybe in the Jesus Sutra, Jesus could just be giving a so-so hand signal. I mean, initially I was just picturing, it's just one of those weird Kama Sutra books that, you know, you'll find in someone's parents' bedroom or something like that, right? And it's kind of shiny. It looks like something that you get from like a very kind of commercial bookstore. It's very glossy and everything like that. But then there's these...
Very glossy.
Very glossy.
The light catches it.
Yeah.
And it's almost blinding.
You almost have to read it in the dark.
Yeah.
or at least at like sort of sunset.
Yeah.
And then it's just two kind of quite straight-looking people, but they have something a bit spiritual about them. And they're in very kind of serene poses. There's no angry faces. You know, they don't like in other kind
like that you would find in the Kama Sutra, those angry faces.
Like, well, you know, like in any kind of other sex photography, everybody for some reason feels like they have to scrunch their face into an angry, grumpy face. You know? And then and so it'd just be kind of that serene thing, but one person is Jesus or dressed as Jesus. Like that.
One of the people having the sex.
The sex.
I think I prefer the one where Jesus is just watching it, passing judgment, giving the thumbs up to the people doing it in a very straightforward way.
Yeah.
And the things that change, you know, because because there's really only one approved configuration. Do they call them configurations?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, we can in the Jesus
layout.
Sutra.
Is it a layout?
Layout.
Sexual layout.
Yeah.
Sexual configuration. Sexual floor plan.
Yeah.
Blueprint.
Blueprint.
You can change things around it, like you can rearrange things in the room and that sort of thing, or you can be doing it on slightly different bedspreads or
height. Do you think sometimes he gives the so-so signal, like he's like, look, they're married, but this is a bit too creative for my liking.
One of the legs is up in a weird way.
Yeah, I don't know if this person should be on top of this person. I think it should go the other way around. So God's like not 100% sure. I guess God could have speech bubbles as well.
Yeah. Is it God or is it Jesus?
Oh, Jesus.
Or are they the same thing?
In my mind,
I don't want to get into a whole Trinity thing.
I do want to get in a whole Trinity
thing. A whole Trinity thing?
Yeah, a whole Trinity thing.
Great. I think you... Is that a separate idea, the Jesus Sutra?
Yeah, well, it's a spin-off, but I don't know if it's like a sketch idea. I mean, like, I would just genuinely like to... How many friends do you think we have that we could get them to position themselves like they're having sex with a friend who dresses as Jesus and gives thumbs up while they look? I mean, it's such a simple project.
I mean, the thing is with the Kama Sutra, I think a lot of the time you do it with a line drawing. Like, you don't actually need photos of your friends. We don't need to ask our friends to let us take photographs of their bums in order to achieve this idea.
Full frontal nudity. I want penetrative.
Yep, hardcore.
Yeah.
Jesus approved.
Sometimes I just want to see, like, a... You know, either a penis and a vagina, or a vagina and a vagina, or a penis and a bum, or a bum and a bum, like that. Anyway, I want all that stuff just real close up, and then in the sort of blurry background, you can sort of make out Jesus' body language, whether he's pleased or displeased.
This is still our friends we're asking to do this.
Absolutely. I mean, only a friend would do it for no money.
No money is changing hands.
No, not until, you know, we see whether or not this is a huge success.
We'll offer them something off the back end.
Off their back end. Look, I'll write in Jesus Sutra as a full idea.
Well, I think I also think that religious approved pornography is an interesting angle.
Yeah, and getting the stamp of approval within the photo so that you don't have to, like...
So it's all there. You don't have to cross-reference anything.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's like, you know, like with things being kosher, for example, it's got to come with a certificate and things like that. I think if the rabbi was involved in, like, you know, a piece of meat, if his stamp of approval or something that was on each steak or, you know, whether... when you, I don't know, yeah, whether he just have a photo of the priest sort of printed onto it and how he feels about it.
Yeah, he's seared in.
Seared into the meat.
I think this is good for a modern society, right? Because we don't have time to listen, attention spans, we don't have time to listen to a full parable and then try and interpret it and then, you know, apply that information to a different context. We don't even have time to, you know, watch a 30-second video that might give us the gist.
Yeah.
It's, we're talking Instagram, we're talking, I want all the information to be in a single image.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Single still image that I can scroll past.
Yeah.
And that's how I want to absorb my religious messaging.
Absolutely, you know, yeah.
As a series of single frame things that are there, tells me everything I need to know.
Yeah, I think Instagram
this
would be...
and this, good. This and that, bad.
Yeah.
It's all there. It's one photo.
Exactly. Link in bio.
Yeah. For more.
Yeah, for more info.
Want to buy this on a t-shirt?
Yeah.
Click here.
I think we should be, most religious teachings should be able to be sold on Redbubble, which we do have things available.
Yes. Yes, we do.
We've now seen people, photos of me and Andy on pillows and mugs and t-shirts.
And clocks.
And clocks. And you people are wild. You people are insane. And we thank you deeply for your support.
We do. I think I wonder if there have been. I don't think there have been many religions that are a double act, you know, that are founded by two people.
No, but that would be good.
Yeah,
I mean, it obviously puts us at risk for the. Are you suggesting us?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, who else would I suggest?
Yeah, right.
An opportunity like this.
Hey, but I think I want to get away from the God thing.
Sorry, like, I know we've been talking about God for a long time.
No. As in, I want to start a religion.
Oh yeah. Right.
Right. I'm happy to start a religion.
Yes, yes.
But I don't want I don't want people to think that a religion needs like higher powers or gods or anything like that.
Or teachings or sort of, you know, books or robes or any of that kind of stuff. Like, we're trying to get rid of all of that, you know, and get down to what a religion fundamentally is, really, which is a room full of people.
But don't you think like a cheat sheet is all you really need?
Yeah,
you know, like all these book ideas. Mm-hmm. You got to release a book and be like, I got to read a book. Mm-hmm. But you can't just kind of summarize it. Be good. Don't be a bastard. You know, which it kind of is really in be good.
Well, but I like the cheat sheet angle because when you were studying at school, you'd study for 6 months or a year or whatever it is. Mm. And then you would try and condense everything down into a cheat sheet. And you'd look at all the problems that you're likely to come across, you do a few examples, and you write down only what you think is necessary. And surely, by this point, we've been doing religion for so long, right? Someone must have written it as a cheat sheet. There must be a two-page, a single A4 folded sheet version of morality, of the Bible, of whatever it is. Like, even if you could do all religions, right? And then condense them down into a folded A4, double-sided.
I think
that I can take with. I could have that with me.
You could
in my pocket.
You can have a cue card almost.
Yes. I reckon.
Like, think about it. Okay, follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's
your... probably two books of the Bible. There, done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that they complicate it by then saying some of God's laws are higher than the actual laws of the land. So I think that. We're not going to have any of that.
Well,
there's no deity.
Well, our Bible, the laws will just be the laws, right?
Yeah.
The laws of the religion will just be the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing compatibility.
Yeah.
There, okay. Our operating system, it works with whatever platform that you're
exactly,
in.
Exactly. Yeah. Then betrayal is bad, unless necessary.
Yeah. Good.
You know, because sometimes it is necessary. You know, sometimes to stop yourself from getting hurt or whatever,
or
get out of a really bad,
relationship or situation, or you know, maybe you're being led by somebody whose values seem to have strayed.
Yeah, don't don't follow anyone too seriously. That's like another one, you know, because that seems to be where a lot of people get stuck. They kind of go, they get stuck on this leader and they just get really interested in it. And I don't see.
And then they start blocking out so much bad stuff that person's doing. And that ties in well with the don't betray unless you want to.
Yeah.
Rule.
Yeah. And then
unless it seems like you should.
Yeah. Then making people feel good seems to be like, how about this? Just friendships and family is mostly about improving each other's lives a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That's good. And it doesn't set the bar too high as well.
It's just about trying to like have a good time living near each other.
Yes. Yes. And you do that by occasionally thinking about the other person when they're not around,
mm-hmm.
and preparing stuff, be it physical,
mm-hmm.
or mental or organizational, to make their lives a little bit easier.
That's right. But we won't write all that down.
No.
That's
we'll,
like, it's really
we'll turn
wordy.
That into an acronym.
Great. And then something like, you know, finally, I think probably just put aside 10% of your wage for a rainy day.
Right.
Whatever.
So superannuation will be built into the...
like that. And also then they have to give us 15% of their wage.
I mean, why not, right? Why not a sort of a Patreon model?
Yeah.
Right?
For the religion.
Yeah.
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 I like it. I mean, we don't... like. I mean, that's... That
the
was
problem.
Joke.
The problem is then financial rewards and that sort of thing. But, you know, because you don't want to get into that whole situation where people are getting into heaven. Like, we have a special tier. We have straight to heaven tier on our religious
no
Patreon.
Lines.
No lines.
Yeah.
Cut to the front. You know?
Well, there's no heaven.
That's great. Yeah. Heaven is earth. Heaven is, you know... There's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no afterlife. Everything is just this, right?
Yeah. And also, magic only exists in fiction and the mind.
Yes.
Maybe we should write that down.
Yeah.
And everything can be explained eventually.
Yeah. I mean, this religion has got a lot of overlap with science, and I think that's really, really good.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff that saves us a lot of trouble with coming up with new stuff. Mm. You know, with the old religion, they had to come up with reasons for everything because they didn't have any reasons for anything. But now we can just use the reasons that we already have, right, and copy those over and just say science applies.
Yeah.
It's like when you're building a new computer game and you just use the physics engine from something else. Here, we're going to use the physics engine from physics, which I think is...
That's a really good idea.
It's a good one, and we've proven that it works.
Mm.
And it's very realistic.
Unbelievably.
The physics engineer, the physics engine in real life?
Yeah. Except for one thing that I've seen. It was a clip from Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
There was a... I think it was in Stupid Human Tricks.
Yeah.
This girl came on. Somebody retweeted this recently. They're like, this is amazing. And it's this girl who can spit gum out, right? And it goes up and in front of her face, and she can suck it back down into her mouth. Like, the physics of it didn't seem to make sense, but it's all through just like small bits of airflow. It's probably like 3 inches from her face. It goes up and then stops in the way that things going up do. But like stops in a very...
But is it a chain of gum? Like, is...
No. It's just a ball of gum.
She spits it out.
She spits it out. It goes up, and then she like can suck it back down,
in.
And it curls back in towards her mouth, and she catches it again.
Wow.
And she didn't choke and die by it going like blocking her air hole. Or
okay,
whatever.
So that's like a glitch in the real world's physics engine. Obviously, there are always little things that you can do to like, you know, exploit the flaws. And that's one of the clear flaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was that. So that's the only thing I think that I've seen that is essentially real magic.
Yeah.
except for that, everything else is real. We'll write that on the cue card. Watch this link.
I think, I think our A4 cheat sheet or cue card religion, just using a lot of the existing stuff so you don't have to write new stuff, is fine and it's fun. Do you think that we should go on to our words from a listener?
Do you think we should just try to come up with the biggest sketch we've ever
biggest
come up
sketch
with
we've
first?
Ever come up with? Yeah, well, okay, because there's been a lot of overlap between these ones, people don't feel like they've got that. Bam! Here's a big fresh thing.
Where can we set it? An island? Is that too? Is that we've done islands too much, haven't we?
I don't know if we have. done islands too much. I mean, obviously our Magma show at the Comedy Festival is going to be pretty heavily island based, but I don't like. I'm interested.
Tickets
in
are available, by the way.
Yeah. Tickets are very much available.
Just type in Comedy Festival Magma, maybe Andy or Alistair or something like that. So Google, and then something will come up.
Go with my name. Your one's hard to spell.
Yeah. Do Andy.
There's too many variations.
It's true, but not in my actual name. There's only one. There's only one variation.
According to you. Yeah, I like that guy who oh no, that's a religion again. Sorry.
What about this? Can we base a sketch around the idea accordion to you? accordion to you. So it's a guy, he's an accordion player. He's got a slogan t-shirt which says, "Yeah, accordion to you."
Yeah, okay, and then I'd like him to become a fashion house to rival Dolce & Gabbana.
Yeah, and Von Dutch.
And Von Dutch, right? It's the accordion to you. He has these ones. He sells them next to his accordion case when he plays in the mall. He has like three songs, right?
Yeah.
And he's had these printed by his mum, these t-shirts. And then they start to take off, right? And they get really big. And then he starts to do sort of catwalk stuff, Milan.
He gets huge.
Accordion to you. The t-shirts are on the catwalk.
So it's an international success. And then somebody asks him in an interview, they say, "What does accordion to you mean to you?" And he goes, "Well, actually, I'm glad you asked, because accordion to you is actually the name of my mail order accordion shop," right? Where you can buy it online and everybody gets an accordion, you know, when they buy it, like that. And so now it's got another meaning, which is, you know, it's like it's this great double meaning, because at first it kind of was like, it was like accordion to you. It's like there's a nice message in that. You know, it's like it's the music of the accordion from his hands to your ears, you know. Or
oh, yeah, I definitely got that and I liked it.
You know, it's the jauntiness.
And it's a bit of a pun.
Yeah, it's a bit of a cunt. I almost said it's a bit of a cunt. I meant it's a bit of a pun. He could be a bit of a cunt, as people are in the fashion
often
industry,
these fashion
I imagine.
Fashion people, yeah. He starts to be very judgmental about women's bodies.
Yeah, that's right. I actually don't like a women's bodies over 85. I'm sorry, I don't think I could date a woman over 85. Like that, and you go, oh, the outrage on sort of Bebo. There's a lot of outrage on Bebo.
Yeah.
Which there hasn't been that much of recently.
What is Bebo?
It was just like a very early kind of MySpace-y Facebook
thing.
Yeah,
right.
Anyway.
Okay. Accordion to you becomes a huge thing. But does he continue to only sell exactly the same t-shirts in like three different sizes?
On hats.
And hats.
And underwear.
Oh, okay, sorry. And underwear.
Yeah, underwear with the Calvin Klein stripe, but it says accordion to you.
All around the band.
It really just like, it's like those Calvin Kleins. It really grabs your package and brings it forward and shapes it into an accordion. Shapes your package into to look like an accordion.
It's getting a bit more sort of nebulous, Alistair. Like once he starts to have these different things, I find it hard to keep hold of what is actually the idea here. Because is the sketch premise the implausibility that this guy's product, which if it's only one product, I find it easier to imagine it being funny that it's become successful. Stop laughing at me, all right?
Andy, I'm laughing at the scenario. You're like my son. Don't laugh at me. So look, I think that is very much the basis of it, right? So it kind of starts out, it's a guy who's a busker, plays the accordion, he wears a shirt that says accordion to you, and then there's so much interest in the shirt that he starts selling his own shirts, accordion to you, and then it becomes a big fashion label, and it is mostly just accordion to you shirts.
T-shirts.
Yeah, in different colors, maybe, like that. And then he starts to expand into hats, maybe those like rubber wristbands, you know, and things like that. And then into selling accordions, and then it really blows up. And I think just the idea, I think the silliness of success is to me is the humor, because you think about Hugh Jackman, right? He was just a guy. He was just the guy at one point who was like, I think I'd like to be an actor. And people were like, yeah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
You're a fucking idiot. And then at some point, he just got a break in which it was no longer a dream. It was like, oh, obviously you're Hugh Jackman. And then he got put through the Hollywood machine where he had people like, you know, muscularly training him and things like that. And now he is just like, he's kind of, he has like this demigod likeness to him because he's not like us. He can go from big to small. Mm. He slides down big wires and meets Oprah at the end, hurts his eye.
He can do that stuff. We can't do that.
He's demigod-like.
We can slide down a rope. We can hurt our eye. But Oprah is never going to be at the
never
end of the rope.
Be there. There's not going to be huge crowds of people.
That's what it means to be normal. Oprah is never at the end of the rope.
She's never there. Right? And so that's kind of like it's the modern success story is it can just be the dumbest thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just be a guy who plays an accordion and for some reason made up a shirt that is a terrible idea.
Yep.
And that's what people love about it. And then they forget that it's a terrible idea.
I kind of like the idea that within this world, his fashion decisions and the products that he make never progress.
Okay.
Like he does new things, but they never progress beyond the level of what is the worst and cheapest type of thing that someone would do with this bad idea.
Mm.
Like they never progress beyond the kind of souvenir product that you would buy from a service station.
Yeah.
So it's like visors, pens, it's stubby holders, mm-hmm. and maybe magnets or something like that, right? But that is this huge.
But it gets taken seriously, like it's a in Milan.
Oh, for sure.
People like models are carrying these stubby holders,
which it's almost not a joke anymore because it is that kind of ugly, weird, kitsch, normcore thing that is sort of like Kanye's kind of thing almost, where like a lot of the stuff that he fashion sells for huge amounts of money is just like, this just seems demonstrably bad and ugly.
No, yeah, but that requires a leap. That's still what you expect from fashion. You expect things to be ugly and kind of like too in your face, whereas like cheap kind of the kind of cheap stuff that tourists would buy. Mm. That's not the kind of stuff Kanye sells. Like,
I see. This is how little I know. It seems very, very close. But
like
you're right.
A shirt with the name of the town and things like that. Like, is the kind of
I went to a servo. I was driving back from Halls Gap the other day. Stopped in a servo that in this tiny town that looked like it had about three buildings called Navarre, Navarre. And in the servo, they had three black shirts on a rack that said, I heart Navarre. And I just thought, who has ever bought one of these? What?
Just like a car full of 20-year-olds that are like, oh, look at this fucking thing.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm.
I guess.
Could he still sell accordions at some point? Maybe they're hidden inside a T-shirt.
Alistair, if it's going to make you feel good, he can sell accordions. What do you get out of him selling accordions?
Hey, well, because
of accordion to you.
Accordion to you already sounds like a slogan for the name or the name of a company.
Okay, great. Great. He also sells accordions.
Yeah, accordion
and they go to
you. Do you think it should have a yeah in front of it? Yeah, accordion to you.
I don't think a yeah helps.
No.
I don't think a yeah gets us anything. And that's just extra printing dollars.
I know, but then it also sounds like you're trying to say, yeah, according to you.
Do you think it would be interesting to sort of near the end of this reveal that the accordion to you guy had an MBA? No, not MBA. What's that one with business? Yeah, MBA from Harvard.
Oh, okay. No.
He
didn't own the MBA.
No.
Yeah.
He had some incredibly high business degree and all of this was planned. Like all of this was just like, it was just a business decision for him.
He was a PhD in business, and he was actually like, I just thought this was the most logical thing.
I just did the sums, my due diligence, and this just makes sense as a business.
If you look at the market,
yeah.
I mean, this is exactly what it was calling for.
Yeah.
Some kind of thing that people would think is garbage, but then eventually forget that it was garbage and just buy it because it's famous.
Mm.
You know, it's a brand. It's a
anyone could have done this if they just thought about it.
You know, and the good thing about the accordion, the reason why people buy accordion to you accordions as well is because they're actually high quality.
Accordions,
good quality accordions at an affordable price. You know, we went back to the early days of making accordions. You know, and back that the thing that brings out the richness of the accordion sound.
Yes,
we used about 16 accordion master players to trial each one, and we would have them blind tested by the biggest accordion experts.
I wonder if Harry's.com would, if there'd be an accordion to you, could be the Harry's of accordions.
I absolutely believe that that's the case.
I think it's really, it's so annoying when you go to a music shop and you ask for an accordion, and they have them behind the counter, and they've got to go get them from there, and then you pay for individual notes or whatever. Every time a note goes, you got to go buy new notes for your accordion.
I hate that.
I want someone who will just send them to me in the mail.
Yeah, I want that. I want them to pre-send them to me before they break or whatever.
Yeah.
Does that happen with accordions?
Probably. Yeah, especially if you play them real hard, which is the way I play my accordion.
Absolutely.
Alistair, do we have some words from a listener?
We've got some words.
Do you think that was the biggest sketch we've ever come up with?
That wasn't the biggest, but at least it went to somewhere different.
Yeah.
So three words are from Daniel J. Let's Play Podcast.
Hey, Daniel J. Thanks for supporting the podcast on Patreon.
Yeah. And, you know, he supports us by also sending us messages occasionally, telling us he just sent us one telling us how our magma characters have been moved away from their core traits, which was to say yes after every second sentence.
And he's right.
And he's
absolutely... And we're sorry, and we'll get back to that. Now, magma characters are something we do on the bonus episode of the podcast and that we're going to do at the Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
If you chip in on Patreon, you can get the two bonus episodes a month.
Yeah. So here's his three words. Now, Andy, people have tried to fuck with us before.
Yeah, I know.
And...
I know.
But Daniel J., let's Play Podcast, he's not just a... He's not going to fuck with us on a level that, you know, that other people are going to fuck with us on, because he's seen a pattern and he's going to break that pattern.
Oh, no. Okay. Can I guess what the words are?
Okay. Yeah.
Fuck with us?
No, Andy.
Oh.
In many ways, you couldn't be further away from the words. And it's not love against you.
Is the opposite of fuck love?
Fuck with us.
Mm.
Well, I mean, fuck the intention of fuck, you know, like I hate you kind of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, sure. Interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell me the words.
Okay.
Thanks, Daniel.
Here we go. Lit fasseul. Okay. Theha juaga gue. And sejan fa. Sendingar.
Can you tell me what that is backwards?
No.
No? Is it anything?
Wait. Ilu eis saft til.
Are these just random letters?
Ga uje yet.
So these. What has he given us? Is it just random?
I think at some point I tried to put it in a translator thing, and I don't think it came up with anything. It could be Icelandic. It could be Welsh.
Do you think Icelandic could be a language, a full language of typos?
I mean, why else would you go to a small island in the middle of the Atlantic if it wasn't for being ashamed of... your language or the way that you express English?
Could they be an entirely dyslexic country? Even the word dyslexic sounds and looks a little bit like an Icelandic word.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's possible. If not, I don't see why we couldn't create an island where we put all.
Is this an island based idea?
I mean, we managed to avoid it in the last thing, and you told me that we haven't been doing.
As many.
I mean, a good reason to kind of expel people from a country where it's not like politically like incorrect kind of thing. Like, you know, like instead of like, because I think these days if you expel people for their race or their religion or something like that, it looks bad.
Mm.
But if there was a reason that you expelled people, that is kind of their fault.
Yeah, it's like being born dyslexic.
Well, you know, it's not being born dyslexic that's the problem. It's the not fixing yourself.
Not overcoming it all by yourself. Not overcoming a thing that could be impossible to overcome, even for people who try very hard. The best you can hope for is to manage it and to, you know, succeed in spite of. Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
No, I think this is something that we could all get behind, is like creating an island of people who can't spell very well.
I mean,
maybe that's even where the word expel comes from.
Yeah.
You know?
Expel.
Yeah.
So
it's short for not excellent at spelling.
So I think there's a sketch in this where one country has put all their dyslexic people on an island, and then you go and visit that island. I mean,
and it's just Iceland.
The thing is that it actually could easily be Wales, like because it's such a.
Iceland feels like what a dyslexic person might think the word island is spelt like.
Okay, great. All right, so Iceland makes it easier. Because, I mean, we've heard Bjork. She can speak English very well.
Speaking, not a problem.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know that in Iceland, they clearly speak English.
But also, dyslexic people are very often extremely creative in other areas, right? And this would explain why Iceland has, like, such a disproportionately high number of cool and interesting artists and rock bands. And even their football team is like very highly ranked for the relative to the population of Iceland.
Yeah.
I think this checks out on a very deep level, right? And it's why their language is so weird, because none of them can spell.
Yeah, well, it could be possible that that was just a thing that Vikings used to do. Maybe they didn't respect people who couldn't spell properly.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, let's put them on an island with volcanoes on there.
If we know that there's one thing that the Vikings like to do, it was put people on a boat and push them out to sea.
That's right. Towards some kind of magma island.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Iceland was obviously the first magma island.
It was. It was. It was a new society for those who can't spell too well.
But I guess you could just present this as a as a thing where here's a thing that we could say either the British were doing or the you know, something like that, as a mini documentary, present this sketch as that, and then eventually just reveal that it's, you know, this is where you're
that
putting
it's Iceland.
This is Iceland.
Yeah, great. I mean, the British, they also transported people to Australia for doing crimes, and maybe to Iceland for not being able to spell, like. It would explain why their language is so different. I think this checks out.
Would it explain why so many people there believe in elves?
Elves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was like a high percentage of the population. This is probably a myth, but it was a thing going around, one of those kind of like facts, that a high percentage of the population believe in elves.
So it doesn't matter.
It's just a quirk. It's a quirk of dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in elves. I dated somebody who really, truly believed in fairies.
Really?
I remember, look, who knows how serious anything anyone says to you, but she was sitting with me and she was like, look over there into that tall grass, you know, imagine just like from behind that little twig or whatever, out came a little fairy. And she said, hello. Hello there. Sorry. Lost my voice.
Is this believing in fairies, or is this just believing in the ability to imagine fairies? Because those are very different things.
But it's like wanting others to believe. It's wanting others to believe. So, I mean, why would you want others to believe if you didn't believe?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And if you did believe, why wouldn't you want others to believe? Right? Like, I wonder if that's an element of believing in anything is inherent, that you want other people to believe in it as well. Because it seems to be that religions are like pretty keen on other people believing in their religion.
It's mind colonization.
Mm.
Yeah. Apparently, like, that's what, when I was dating a Taiwanese girl, she mentioned how she's like, well, I think people...
You've dated so many girls, Al.
And this is the episode where I reveal it. She was telling me that, like, you know, people in the West kind of like to convince people of their way of thinking, you know? Like, they want people to think like them.
Yeah, right.
And I think it's just that white person instinct to colonize things. I want you to... I want the inside of your mind to be like the inside of my mind, so that we don't have to have any more confrontations.
Or even conversations.
Yeah, I just want you to submit to my way of thinking, and then everything will be really easy.
Well, this is fun and also accurate, you know? Yeah, that's what we're like.
That's us.
That's us, hey? What are we like that? That's what we're like. I think we've done our ideas for today, Alistair. Would you like to take us through them?
I will. We have smartphones for beasts.
Yeah.
You know, the youth of today would do so poorly in the wild because of their addiction to smartphones. So we could fix that by giving all the animals and insects, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Smartphones for them and creating a way of communicating with them through, I don't think we're that, we'll definitely be able to communicate more with animals, I think, through some kind of technology.
Yeah, 100%. We will be able to make a machine that uses pattern recognition, machine learning to understand what animals are communicating in as much as they are. On any level, and then we'll be able to replicate that, and we'll be able to communicate stuff back to them. That is definitely going to happen.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
it's going to be just like that baby monitor episode of The Simpsons when Herb comes and they go that guy, and he goes, "I want some pancakes."
That is what I was thinking of in my mind when I was talking about that.
Then we got and the important is also that we level out the playing field for animals to integrate within our society. Mm-hmm. And obviously the idea is that they could be... I mean, I forgot about the big part of this sketch, which was that we're now allowing animals to enter human society and I suppose live amongst us, possibly in their own homes.
Yes.
And then compete with us for jobs.
Yes.
And love and, you know, go to parks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Welfare, and they're all on welfare.
Not all of them.
No, some of them have jobs.
You know, and this is the kind of
prejudice
that we're trying to overcome.
Yeah.
But the whole point of giving them a smartphone so that they have the same disadvantages as us.
Right, of course. I forgot what a huge disadvantage technology is to progress.
Yeah. So then another sketch is an animal. Every person has an animal assigned to them, and if that animal dies, you die.
Yes.
So you each get a chip in your heart, and it's your job to protect that animal from poaching or, I guess, the natural cycle of life.
Yeah.
And so then...
The cold.
If you've been assigned an animal that is like a mouse or something like that that only lives for a very short period of time, you quickly have to spend money to, you know, and I guess there'll be a whole industry that'll quickly be set up with this, but to keep the organs alive at least, or, you know, keep zapping them to make it seem to the chip inside the heart of the mouse that it is... I mean, you probably wouldn't wait for it to die because then you would die.
Yeah.
So you'll probably have to take your living mouse and take it to these people. It'll probably
they
be
put
like,
it in a vat and they dissolve all its skin.
Outsides or whatever
they
like that.
Put probes into it. God, this is going to be so good for animals. That is what this was all about.
And then we'll save the animals.
It'd be from poaching. I reckon the great one.
But they won't get poached anymore.
But the great one would be a big turtle or like a medium-sized tortoise. Right, that you could just strap to your back and just have it with you everywhere. You can hand it stuff, you know, lettuce over your shoulder like that. I think this could be quite
it could
fun. And
rest then you've its got head a, on top of your head.
Exactly, and then you've got a turtle's shell on your back. This makes so much sense.
And breakdancing so easy.
So easy, new thing to spin on.
Yeah,
that turtle shell.
Yeah. We got the Fresh Testament, and this is just us. We're going to write a New Testament. We're going to dictate it so that we don't have to sit down and write and really worry about it. And then just sell it as the Bible, but like the newest Testament.
Yeah.
And on Amazon, we're going to have 6 people buy it, 99 cents.
Yeah, that's $5.94 that we can count on.
Yeah. It's really nice. And it'll probably take, how many pages are there in the Bible? But there's so much open space as well. I mean, it's the writing is really small.
I don't think
though.
There's that much open space.
No? Okay.
I think it's pretty packed in there, Alistair. Okay, yeah. Well, we'll just do it in the Bible.
But we'll do it for a week.
Yeah.
Okay? And then we'll still see our families.
We'll give it a week.
In the evenings and in the first thing in the morning.
Yep. Thank you for factoring that into the plan, by the way.
Andy, we can't. We can hardly meet up ever.
With our families.
With our families, either.
I got to start a podcast with my family so that I can see them. That's otherwise, it's starting to get hard to justify.
Good idea.
You know?
I mean, it's not bringing in any income.
Yeah.
It's not, you know.
Why can't I get a Patreon just to support me to spend time with my family? Well, I think that will be the future.
If you build it, they will come.
Yes.
I think you might have to start like an Instagram family or something like that. Which you seem unwilling to do, Andy.
I got a cute family.
You got a cute family.
They're cute.
Your boys have some very expressive faces.
They sure do.
Beautiful faces.
Thank you.
And some of the most gorgeous eyes I've ever seen on almost
Alistair.
Any beast.
See?
And then on top of that, great facial expressions.
Are we beasts? Are my boys beasts?
We're all beasts.
We're beasts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beasts without burden.
That's good.
Then we got the Jesus reality series, which is, you know, we have him back, and then we're following him around, getting him to do some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then also seeing him, you know, there's conflict.
Mm.
He's coming up against, you know, believers and non-believers, some believers that doubt him.
You would really want a Judas character in that show.
Oh yeah,
you know,
Judas has come back as well.
Well, he doesn't have to have come back. It can be like wasn't there a Paris Hilton one where she was trying to find a new friend or something like that?
Mm.
You know, we could do that.
Is
with
trying
Jesus.
To find a new Judas.
New Judas.
Yeah, great. I mean, you could just get one of those guys from like one of those, you know, those things where they buy all the stuff inside a locker. You know, you get one of those guys.
Storage Wars.
Get a guy like that with a curly mustache.
Yeah.
Right? Then that's your Judas. They've already got personality.
Yeah.
They're
casting.
Already willing to mm-hmm. use trickery to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Just put that person near Jesus.
They're willing to judge things based on one look, which is not something Jesus would do.
It's exactly the opposite of Jesus' teaching. He says, at least give it two looks.
Storage,
it's on the cheat sheet.
Storage Wars is the opposite of Jesus.
Which brings us to, obviously, Jesus Sutra,
mm-hmm.
which is the Jesus Kama Sutra, but where there's positions, and then within
Jesus
each
in
photo,
the background.
Jesus is giving a thumbs up or thumbs down or like a so-so kind of thing.
I think your problem, Alistair, this is your problem. You're trying to create a religious Kama Sutra, but you're still including the bad positions, right?
Yeah.
Which... somebody who's into weird stuff might just look at those bad positions and sort of enjoy looking at them in the wrong way. Like by including them.
Well, there'll be a photo of people looking at the Jesus Sutra and then Jesus will say what...
whether or not they're looking at it right.
Yeah, so there'll be photos of them looking at one of the ones that he's giving a thumbs down to. And if they're smiling, he'll give a big,
double thumbs down.
Like that.
I think this is the Jesus Sutra, which is a sort of a supplementary pamphlet which gives you the correct ways in which to enjoy the Jesus Sutra.
Yeah, that's right. It's important.
And the missionary position, which is lying down with you on top of the Jesus Sutra.
Your genitals up against the sutra.
Yeah.
Cue card religion, that's just our religion that we're... You know, we didn't want to be... Mm-hmm. Leaders of religions, but here we are. We're just.
I think
it's mostly follow the law. Follow science.
This is a selling point for a modern religion. It's short.
Mm.
It's easy to consume.
To
get your head around.
We could probably fit it within a tweet.
Yes.
Oh, that was such a high pitch S. That was amazing.
Really.
And then obviously now we're coming to the good, really, really good stuff.
Mm.
Accordion to you.
Yeah, this is a real big good sketch idea. Bam.
Boom. Accordion to you. We're probably going to have to make accordion to you t-shirts, Andy.
Hey, look, if we manage to pull this sketch off without doing that, we're doing something right.
And then we got Iceland was an island nation for that, you know, the British and the Europeans, all the European tribes decided they were just going to put all their dyslexics there.
Yeah. And I think we have one person who downloads from Iceland. So
hey, if you're listening... If you're listening to us, Mr. or Mrs. Iceland, or Ms. or Mr.'s, hello, and thank you for listening, and I hope you don't mind us using your whole nation disrespectfully and making judgments about it based on the spelling of your foreign words, which are not obviously the same.
Per capita, Iceland has a very good sense of humor about itself.
Great.
That's another thing about it.
Yeah, it's the highest sense of humor per capita.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Are we going to do George's band names now?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, fantastic. People have been sending in a bunch of band names, and I'm only going to go through just a couple right now because I'm very grateful and excited about them. Now, the first person who sent us in some new ones, we didn't do it over previous weeks, by the way, because we pre-recorded the episodes from for Christmas. People have still been sending them in. So this is Mahad Mubasha has sent us a list from his phone. He keeps band names, right? Over the years, I've kept note on my phone of anything I hear that might be quite a good name for a band. Quite a few of them, he says, were inspired by our podcast.
Wow.
So this is, you know, this is the circle of life right here.
This is a way George can get something from us without it, you know, without him dismissing
it. Seeming like it's come from us.
Yeah, dismissing it because it comes from us.
I think that's the reason he dismisses a lot of our great names. Like, what are some other ones, Alistair?
Breakface,
you know? Great names like that. He doesn't want those. Anyway, he sent, like, I'm going to say 50 band names. So I'm just going to read the first couple, and maybe I'll read some more in future episodes.
We'll see how we could dedicate this episode to this guy.
No, well, there's one other one that I want to get onto. I'm not going to do every single name. Great. Do you want me to do every single name right now?
I mean, let's just dip back in every now and then.
Okay, Crusty Lichens.
Oh, I like it.
That's beautiful, isn't it? Rockstar Olympians.
Oh, yeah.
Mighty Whale Flank. That feels like something that Alistair would have really got on board with. I like this one a lot. Milky Penguin.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Psychedelic Lemon, Electric Fence, Unusual Discharge. I mean, these
Unusual are Discharge?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great. Especially if it's like in prison.
Yes.
Okay, you're out, but you got to go through this tube.
And I'll skip ahead to one that I really, really liked. Whorehouse Piani.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Piani.
Yeah. Piani.
What a great word.
And I just wanted to read one other email now. We'll get some more in the future. This is from Jacob Reisterer, right? And Jacob writes in response to Alex Schmitz. Now, a few episodes ago, we had a name from Alex Schmitz who said that he'd suggested the name Clayfish for his band. Yeah. Anyway, this is the email from Jacob. I am in the band that Alex Schmitz emailed you about. I didn't like the name Clayfish. If you guys want to move on from that, try Clay Shit. That's how ruthlessly I panned Clayfish when it was cast out there. You understand. I had to reel the band in. So,
great. Well, we'll pass on Clay Shit to George. Because I think it's got a nice ring to it anyway.
Yeah, Clay Shit. I mean, it feels like that's what I've been doing since I became a vegan. They are dense and they are sticky,
great.
Which you wouldn't expect from veganism. You'd think
once have a girlfriend who said that when she ate a lot of meat, her shit would get stickier.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've gone totally the other direction.
I want you to know that was a different girlfriend to the two others I mentioned this episode.
One day we'll do an episode just dedicated to the girlfriends that you've had, because each of them has at least one really interesting defining characteristic, I think.
That's right.
And
either the country they come from or one strange thing they said.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do that as a bonus episode. Alistair's ex-girlfriends.
Wow. I hope they never find out.
Hey, we're not judging them. We're just listing them.
Great. People who...
Alistair lists everyone.
People who made the mistake to care about you. Also, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at AlistairTV.
I'm at StupidOldAndy. Right. Thank you to the people who send in those band names.
Thank you so much.
And email them to twointhethinktank@gmail.com if you've got more suggestions.
Yeah. We're at twointank on Twitter.
I'm at StupidOldAndy. Did I say that already? Yes,
yeah,
I did.
We you can always support us on Patreon. It helps. It's delightful. It's kind. But you are all helping us so much by just listening.
Absolutely.
But there are also benefits to donating on Patreon.
And if you can't chip in on Patreon, which is totally fine, we totally understand, if you could leave us a review on iTunes, who knows what that does, but it's got to be good for somebody.
It makes us feel good.
It makes us look, I know exactly what it does. It makes me feel good. There. I was trying to hide.
Don't hide, Andy.
No, but that's
because also
it
you've
is.
Said it about 1,000 times on the podcast.
Okay, great.
That it makes you feel good. And I believe that we
love
you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.